We've heard a lot of talk this year about the minimum wage and efforts to raise it. In fact, in some places, more than double it to $15 an hour. New York City has passed a bill doing that. We know Seattle and some parts of San Francisco area have done the same. Here in St. Louis, the effort has stalled because of battles at the aldermanic meetings over the last couple of weeks. But if we do raise the minimum wage for people who are working at the bottom, for instance, fast food workers, what's that going to do to the cost of fast food? Roberto Ferdman from the Washington Post has been looking into this and joins us now. Hi, Roberto. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. So what is the answer? If we pay fast food workers more, how much is a Big Mac or a Whopper going to cost us?
This is a pretty rough estimate, but according to one researcher and one investigation, it would have an effect of a little bit over 4%. Which, you know, it depends on how you look at it. But I think for most people, paying 4% more for a Big Mac, which would mean about 17 cents, depending on where you live, isn't a whole lot to make sure that the people who prepared it earned a living wage or enough that, they'd be able to pay for not just their bills, but the food on the table and live a more comfortable life.
Now, you say depending on where you live is because the prices aren't the same across the country?
Of course. So fast food workers don't earn the same across the country as it is. You know, if you live in Lafayette, Indiana, as this particular researcher does, the wage being paid right now is the federal minimum wage, which is just over $7. If you're in Seattle, where right now they're working to raise the minimum wage to 15, it's more than that. Beyond that, it doesn't cost the same to live in these different places. If you live in New York City, those $7 don't go nearly as far as they do in rural Indiana. So there are a lot of considerations. You know, saying that everyone around the country should earn $15 has its limitations, too.
You know, we tend to be price sensitive to certain things in our life, and in particular, I think, the gas you put in your car, and that's because the places that sell the gas you put in your car have a big sign out front with the price that changes daily. And if it goes up, you know, here in St. Louis, it recently went from $2.39 a gallon to $2.59 a gallon, or if it goes from $2.59 to $2.63, people notice that as they go through their life. Do you think people notice what the cost of a burger costs?
They might. You're right to point out oil, and it's the reason why I pointed out the price of gas is because we watch the price of gas so closely. Part of that's that gas is a bit more of a necessity than fast food is, at least for most people. Anyone who drives a car needs to put gas inside of their car. A four percentage fluctuation does affect them quite a bit. With fast food, I think it depends on how dependent you are on fast food for your diet. I don't think, however, that there's the same amount of attention. So I think that the reaction would vary. I don't think that it would come anywhere near the reaction to a 4% hike in gas, which would, you know, be on headlines around the country. We'd be talking about it on every broadcast. Every broadcast news media would be addressing it.
Yeah. So, for instance, in New York, you know, everything always costs more. And you're saying in some of these regions, fast food workers get paid more. So the price of a hamburger and a McDonald's here in Missouri, is it the same price as it is in New York right now? Or is it more?
No. I don't know exactly what the difference is between the price of a hamburger in St. Louis and New York City. They certainly aren't the same because it, as you said, it reflects the cost that they endure. But payroll is not the only cost a restaurant endures. It's actually, you know, just a portion. In Missouri, part of what's cheaper is the rent.
Yeah, big time.
I'm assuming. I don't live in...
No, you're
in
absolutely
Missouri,
right.
I feel like that's a fair assumption to make.
Absolutely, because the cost of living here is so much cheaper. But here's another part of the equation, and people like the National Restaurant Association and other lobbyists for the restaurant industry, they always say, well, if we have to pay people more, we just won't be able to hire as many people. And I'll tell you, Roberto, when I was 18 years old, I worked in a McDonald's. They didn't have extra people working there. They had exactly the amount of people they needed to give out the burgers and burgers and fries and apple pies and Filet-O-Fish to get through any one shift. So the notion that we would lay people off, you still need enough people to get through that food day with those people serving the people who are coming in the door, right?
So So there's actually been a lot of research into this, or at least studies of this, to that question. And what they found is that when it comes to low-skilled work and when it comes to the fast food industry, that's actually particularly not true. Part of that's because these are very efficient businesses, as you've said. The specific branches basically function like small businesses. Only about 9 people on average work at each branch, at each fast food restaurant.
Yep.
So if they were to decrease by a person, that would have a huge effect on the productivity of that chain. Now, on top of that, it's been shown that increasing the pay of low-skilled workers is perhaps the most efficient use of the raising of the minimum wage because it increases productivity. If you have 9 people working and being more productive at these branches, it could produce enough of a spike in sales to not force these companies to lay off a worker. I don't think that anyone's gone to fast food chain and thought, wow, there's an excess of service.
No, absolutely not. Wow, this is the most efficient restaurant I've ever been in, one.
If you guys could just leave me alone, stop asking my food's okay, that'd be great.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. But there is something to that productivity part and also the fact that you now have workers who are a little happier on the job and aren't looking at this as, in so many cases, a short-term thing. Yes, we do have more people over 30 who are working in fast food places because the economy is so bad and it's the only place they can find full-time work. But you still have the bottom end there, the 16, 17, 19, 22-year-old people who are working there for the summer or for just a few weeks until they can find something else that will pay them more. Well, if this is the job that pays them more, good, as an employer, you're going to keep those people on staff, and you don't have to keep retraining somebody every 8 days.
Yeah, turnover in this industry is extremely problematic. People basically don't keep their jobs for very long at all. It's worse than any other sector, any other industry in the United States. So if this allows for consistency, it's really important. And beyond that, people think of a company like McDonald's and think, wow, this massive company that has these massive profits, but the way in which it works is they're basically small companies within it that have very small profit margins and work to maintain those. So that's why there's a little bit of a hesitance within the industry to achieve these higher wages. The worry is that if you shrink what is already about a 6% profit margin, which is pretty tiny, you might approach zero and then make those individual branches not able to run.
All right, I've only got 30 seconds here, Roberto, but I'm curious. If the cost of labor goes up and the cost of the food doesn't go up, that tells me that something else has to change, like the amount of meat that goes into a hamburger. Would a quarter pounder now be a two-tenths of a...
Two-ounce pounder?
Yeah.
A quarter pounder, it would be about 12% smaller, if you can imagine that. But, we should probably be eating less fast food as it is.
Yeah.
The silver lining to that would be that we save a few calories and we help people out to earn a better living.
And remember, this is a country that loves paying $4.50 for a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So we can't really complain when we pay a little bit more for a burger and the people behind the counter make a little bit more. Roberto Ferdman from The Washington Post, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me.